Tonight's reading is from Hebrews chapter 12, if you want to grab your Bibles and read along with me. Now, starting at verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Stephen and Emily in the background who got us back up and running after we lost power 5 minutes before the service. We're using a bit of a new system tonight, a bit of upgraded cameras, a couple more camera angles to play with as well. So you might have got to see me sitting down in the front row. There are actually people here. There are five of us. It's not just, it's happening live, and it's great that you are able to join us from the comfort of your homes. Well, it's a pretty common sight in our household to find me walking around the house with a toothbrush in my mouth. I don't know when it started, but for some reason, I always think of other things to do while I'm brushing my teeth. I start brushing, then I walk out of the bathroom and I pick up some clothes off the floor. I try and pack my bag for work, make the bed, or whatever pops into my head. And multitasking, it seems like a really good idea. It seems productive. The only problem is that in this case, I so often end up with the toothbrush in my mouth while both hands are occupied doing the other task. So I'm not even brushing my teeth anymore. It looks like multitasking, but it's actually just doing one task in the middle of another. Now, that's a relatively harmless practice. Eventually, I remember that I was supposed to be brushing my teeth, and I do that. But occasionally, I see the same tendency. In my work habits or in relationships, my attempts to be productive, my attempts to do multiple things at once just end up in fracture. The start, stop, restart, flow results in a slower and a worse result. I try to do two or more things and I end up making a bit of a hash of them all together. And maybe you might chalk that up to the old cliche that men can't multitask, but I think there's more to it than that. Our lives, potentially now, more than ever, are a constant competition for our attention. And one of the worst culprits is our use or misuse of mobile phones. They've got a hold on us. They're changing us. They're shaping us. They're molding us. They consume our time, they command our attention, but phones are here to stay, for better or worse. So where could they, where should they fit into the life of a Christian? How can we follow Jesus when really we're following what's trending? Now, how can we live devoted to him when we're really devoting our time, money, energy into our phones? How can we do it all? TikTok, cat videos, messaging, memes. How can we do it all for the glory of God? Well, for the next 4 weeks at Night Church, we're going to be exploring the relationship between our phones and us. And if you're watching this on a phone, I understand the irony, and it's excellent. Just embrace it. We're going to be wrestling with the challenges and the benefits of technology and trying to find a way together to live wholeheartedly in a distracted world, to live self-sacrificially in a selfie culture, to live authentically in a phony world. Each week we'll be watching a short video that explores an issue with phone use. We'll be engaging with a series of scriptures that really speak into that situation. And then we're going to try and dig deep and try and get really practical. What are the day-to-day implications? And so I really want us to interact with this series, perhaps a bit more than we usually do. So whether that's commenting in the chat, whether that's sharing midweek, we're going to be sharing a lot more on social media. And also the study guide that if you follow that link, beaky.link/phony, there's a study guide there that'll give you some more resources for thinking about this on your own or with those in your household or with your small group or whatever it is. I really encourage us to try and engage more, but also to have a bit of fun. This series is going to be challenging, but also, I think a little bit of fun for us as well. And tonight's topic is perhaps the heaviest one out of the four that we're going to look at. Your phone is commanding your attention. The language is intentionally strong because mobile phones, they aren't neutral devices. They have biases, and those biases have an effect on us. And phones aren't passive either, just sitting there. They have an influence over us. Your smartphone is smart. And if we let them, they will actively pull our attention. But I think we know that. We allow that. But before we think about what we're going to do about that, and we need to see how deep the rabbit hole goes. How big is the problem, really? Well, there are 4 billion smartphone users in the world. And Australia is kind of at peak smartphone. Over 90% of us have a smartphone. There used to be places where there were off limits, like the cinema or the classroom or the dinner table, but nowhere is sacred anymore. And that's because they're not just phones. In fact, for many of us, they aren't phones. Over a quarter of Australians don't make a phone call in a week. Over a quarter of Australians do not use their phone as a phone each week. Now, we're too busy scrolling social media, binge-watching TV, listening to music or podcasts, and playing games to actually call anyone. We check our phones when we get up. We check them before we go to bed. We get anxious when our battery is low, when there isn't Wi-Fi or mobile coverage. And worse yet, if we actually left our phone at home and went out somewhere. Well, the struggle is real. And the 2019 Deloitte Mobile Consumer Survey, it's just a really big survey of mobile users in Australia. They asked people whether they thought they used their phone too much. And for those who then said yes, well, they were also three times more likely to say that they feel FOMO, fear of missing out. They're four times more likely to not get enough sleep, four times more likely to feel distracted when completing a task, and five times more likely to experience phone separation anxiety. 14% of respondents who said that they used their phone too much, they claimed they experienced physical pain as a result of overuse. Physical pain as a result of overuse. So there's obviously a problem. But we know there's a problem. In that same survey, 60% of us said we were trying to limit our smartphone use. 60% said that we were trying to somehow put a cap on it, rein it in. And the big companies, well, they say they're trying to help us. Google has the digital well-being app. Apple has Screen Time. Feel free to send me in a screenshot of your Screen Time or digital well-being for today. I'd just be interested. It'll be fun. I'll share mine later on. But then there are the endless notifications, the pop-ups, the tricks and treats. So although they've got these apps to supposedly help us, they're also working to keep our attention on our phones. And I get it. I'm in just as deep as you. Well, maybe not as some of you. Some of you are in real deep, and I'm not as bad as that, right? That's what we say. I had a look at my digital well-being app on my phone, and I average about 2 hours screen time a day, around 100 notifications. I unlock my phone 30 times a day. Facebook, Instagram, Messenger, WhatsApp, Chrome, Gmail, and sometimes even making phone calls. Who would have thought? But whatever your stats, whatever your list looks like, it's all having an effect on us. And we'll see some of the causes and effects in the video that we're going to watch in a moment. But each week we're going to be watching one of these short videos. They're only about a minute long, and they address the issues. They're made by SBS Vice in partnership with a group that's called It's People Like Us. And it's all about an initiative tackling phone use in cars. So we're sort of borrowing their videos for a different purpose, but that will explain some of the things they talk about. But so what's really wrong with constant phone usage? Well, let's watch the video to find out.
I'm putting my phone on silent, putting it in this box. This is Big Calls, a series exploring how our phones are changing us. In this episode, we're looking at how our phones command our attention, even when we can't see them. The apps on our phones are geared towards rewarding our brains with a dopamine release gained from positive social stimuli. Drifts of attention often arise from a desire for more immediate gratification. But what about when we're multitasking, like watching the road, indicating, merging? Well, trying to multitask while using phones leads us to being trash at all the tasks not taking place on our phone screens. Basically, each time we move from texting to checking Insta, this constant stop-start is pretty rough on the brain. It means things take longer, and over time we make more mistakes and get tired quicker. Some common sense strategies might include trying to spend a little more time with your phone switched off, or in another room, or in a locked box. Yeah, okay, hurry up and give me the key.
Did you know that your phone is feeding you? It can control your attention because often it's giving you the satisfaction that you're looking for. Instant pleasure, instant recognition, instant gratification. We're going to talk a bit about that more in week three, but for now I want to focus on the impacts of those things. The impacts of distraction and fatigue. Because we choose the instant gratification, we choose the easy way, the bright lights, we get distracted from lasting joy, the narrow road, from what really matters. Our allegiance is split, our focus has shifted, our priorities are all scrambled. So what is it on your phone that does that to you? Is it social media? Is it messaging on whatever platform it is? Is it watching just one more episode? Yeah, we've been there. Just one more. Is it checking the sports scores or checking your emails or playing the latest addictive game? I'm guessing you might already know what it is. Maybe you've already realized that it's just a distraction. But don't we need some sort of distraction right now with the news that we keep hearing? We're in lockdown again and going further into lockdown. Online learning, online meetings, online church again. Cinemas closed, gyms closed, social life closed again. This is a difficult season. So we need to give ourselves a little grace here. For our own mental health, for our own sake, we need to show ourselves some grace. But then we also need to realize that burying yourself in your phone isn't the answer. And neither is ISO baking or mask making or selfie taking. None of these things are the answer. Because all of these things ultimately are at best a good distraction and at worst full-blown idolatry. We need good things from God, but we go and we try and find them somewhere else. We're not the first ones to do that, though, are we? Neither was Solomon, but I want to read you the summary of Solomon's idolatry. This is from the book of 1 Kings in chapter 11. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, "You must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after other gods." Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives of royal birth, 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God. as the heart of David, his father, had been. Solomon let them into his life. He held fast to them, and they turned his heart. Not a heart fully devoted, but a heart that was split. This has been the repeated warning to God's people. We saw it time and time again in the book of Joshua over the last couple of months. Be fully devoted. Don't compromise. Don't allow anything in to take God's place. In the last couple of months, Mez and I have been watching a TV show that's called Blind Spot. The basic premise of the show is that a woman with no memory is found in a bag in Times Square. And on the bag is a note for the FBI. Over time, they slowly piece together the mystery of her identity and why she was sent to them. In season one, she essentially acts as a double agent. She's feeding information from the FBI back to a terror organization. But in season two, they kind of flip the script and convince her to go undercover into the terror group for the FBI. So now she's kind of a triple agent. FBI for the terror group for the FBI. And it's kind of difficult to work out where exactly her allegiance lies at any one point. But the whole time, the terror group actually has another mole inside the FBI. They've already let the enemy in. He's been camped there for years, and he's slowly tearing the place apart. Now, that's kind of how idolatry works. We let something into our lives that eventually starts destroying things from the inside out. As Paul puts it in Romans 1, we exchange the Creator for created things, and we worship them. As Tim Keller remarks in his book, Counterfeit Gods, I'm not asking whether or not you have rival gods. I assume that we all do. So the question isn't, do I have a problem? It's, what am I going to do about my problem? Well, first we need to see our idols. And maybe your phone isn't an issue for you. If that's you, no worries. Now, this is a series about phones, so I'm going to talk about them a lot. But these questions that I got from Tim Keller's book, I brought it here, a bit of a prop, Counterfeit Gods. These questions that I'm going to read out in a second, they dig deep into all parts of our lives, all aspects of how we're living. So what occupies your mind when you've got nothing else to think about? Where do you spend your money? What does it make you feel? What occupies your mind when you've got nothing else to think about? It's probably not your phone, the phone itself, but it could be a certain app or a function, something that you could do with your phone. Well, we fill our solitude with scrolling, and so it shapes our imagination. Well, where do you spend your money? Well, this could be the phone itself. They're expensive. But again, it could be what it facilitates, whether it's online shopping or subscription services, so much more. What does it make you feel? Our strong emotions are driven by deep fears and longings. If your phone was stolen or you accidentally broke it, what would you feel? Ask yourself that question. What would you feel? What are you really afraid of losing? Well, I want to introduce you to the HTC One. It's probably the favorite phone that I've owned. The design is really simple. It's got this matte finish that's really soft. I love that. And the rounded back. I don't know why all phones don't have a rounded back. It just slips right into your hand. It's really nice. It's a powerful phone, or it was at the time. It had lots of cool features. But one day I was leading a small group at our youth group in Sydney, and I was sitting with my Bible and my notes and my phone, and I stood up to get something. And I felt it immediately. I felt that the phone was starting to slip. I had grip of the Bible, excellent, and my notes, but the phone was slipping. But there was nothing I could do. The dozen or so youth in the room with me, they all watched in horror as it fell face down, smash, onto the tiled floor. The sound was unmistakable. I looked down. We all looked down. No one said a thing. We were all thinking the same things, though. Did that crack the screen? That sounded like that cracked the screen. Yeah, that screen's smashed for sure. Well, how much is that going to cost? Is he going to get a new phone? Is he going to get the screen replaced? Can he pay for it? What about all his data and his phones and his photos, his apps? What if he can't use the phone? What will I do without a phone for a few days? What am I going to do right now is what I was thinking as I sat there. One of the kids started to ask whether it was broken and was shushed by everyone else. Let's just not talk about it. And I couldn't bear to look at it, so I just continued with the Bible study, and a few minutes later I subtly picked it up and slipped it into my pocket. Afterwards I got it out and surveyed the damage. I don't know whether you can see at home there, but the screen smashed. I persevered for a few weeks, but eventually it was time to say goodbye. It was time to say goodbye and upgrade. What a great reason to upgrade. Your phone in itself might be a good thing. You might feel quite attached to it. But many of us make the mistake of making it into a God thing. And we let it have our time, our money, our energy, our attention, our first moments in the morning, our last thoughts before bed. We attach our hopes and fears to it. We become dependent on it, even lost without it. That's what I was feeling in that moment, dependent on this thing that I knew was broken before I looked at it. So the question for many of us is probably not, do we have a problem, but what are we going to do about the problem? Now, if you're picking up a hammer right now to smash your phone and throw it out the window, hold on for a second, because you might not have to go there. Maybe you do, but you might not have to go there. First thing is to identify the idol. The second is to replace it. We put our phones or success or money or sex or relationships or whatever else, we put those things in God's place. And we need to change that. In Paul's letter to the Colossians, he tells them to put their idols to death. But in the verses before that, he tells them how. He says this, this is Colossians 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. If you know Jesus, if you're a Christian, then the old you died. And the life that you now have is in Christ. He is your life. Set your hearts on things above. Set your minds on things above. Rejoice and rest in what Jesus has already done for you. Jesus has got to become more beautiful to our imaginations, more worthy of our money and our time and our effort, more attractive to our hearts. Now, Tim Keller, in the book I mentioned before, he talks about repenting and rejoicing, acknowledging the idol and turning from it, but doing that so that we can freely give Jesus everything, find our lives in him. It's where we're so distracted from following Jesus, so disconnected from him, living disjointed lives. The answer is complete devotion. And that means seeing all of life as worship, living connected, not compartmentalized, living connected. And so you don't have to throw out your phone, but you need to consider how you use it. There are tons of great apps for Bible reading and prayer and journaling and so much more. There are audio Bibles, podcasts, worship music. And if you've got a great app or a podcast or a song that you've loved listening to recently, why not mention it in the chat right now so that we can all benefit from that great resource. Don't be afraid. You can write something. We'd love to read it. But that's some positive things that we can do, that we can add to our phone usage. But what can we do with all the potential distractions that are there? Well, the answer isn't necessarily to switch it off, although we do need to do that regularly. But the answer could be actually to switch on. Mindlessly scrolling social media can just be a distraction, but it's also an opportunity to engage, to switch on. Why not pray through what you see in your feed? Pray for the people. Pray for the needs that you see. Why not take a moment to analyze the culture that you're seeing? Think theologically, think critically about the world around you and what you're being fed in your newsfeed. Why not take a moment to share, to be real, to be authentic and honest in a phony world? So pray through your feed, take a moment to analyze what's going on, take a moment to share into that space. Well, I said a lot about distraction and how we can combat that, but it isn't the only issue with the way that mobile phones command our attention. There's distraction, but there's also fatigue. We're like a kid in a lolly shop or me at Prosperina Bakehouse in Sassafras, and the eyes are just darting around at everything, wanting and craving and desiring all the things. We want one of them and one of them and maybe two of them. We'll need two of them. But it's all too much for us, actually. We can't handle all the choices. As the video mentioned, the constant stop-start, app switching and attention grabbing, it actually slows us down. It wears us down. And so that's going to affect our productivity, our relationships, our mental health. So how do we fix it when we're so fixated on all that's happening on our phones? Well, fix your eyes on Jesus. That's what Hebrews 12 tells us that Emery read for us before. And let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Perseverance and focus that brings fulfillment, brings strength. But I hope you notice that it's not our strength. It's not self-fulfillment. No, Jesus walked the road before us. He endured pain and suffering. He bore the punishment for our sin, for our idolatry. And so we run to him. We consider him. We fix our eyes on him. He is the source of joy. He is the one who is worthy of our attention. He is the one who can fix our fatigue. Because if we're so busy looking around, so busy swiping and scrolling, so busy filling every second of every day, like I can't really imagine what we used to do pre-smartphone when we were in a queue or in a waiting room. Like, did people just sit there? Like, it's crazy. Well, we've got so used to being able to fill our time. We've got used to not being focused, that we find it harder and harder to hear what God is saying and to see what he is doing. Imagine with me for a second the scene in 1 Kings 19. You've got the prophet Elijah and he flees to the mountain of Horeb and there's a great wind. God isn't in it. There's an earthquake. God isn't in it. There's a fire and God isn't in it. They all appear before him, but he finds that the Lord comes to him in a whisper. What are you doing here, Elijah? In our digital age, we wouldn't hear it over all the noise. Because fixing our eyes on Jesus, it needs space. It needs stillness. And sometimes needs solitude. This theology professor David Gordon, yeah, he notes this. If the digital world trains people to find solitude itself off-putting, then they can't have much quality time with God. If we're trained to find being alone off-putting and something to be avoided, then it's going to be hard for us to have quality time with God. We're so afraid of it. We're not used to being alone that we find it harder to connect. You think it'd go the other way. We're so used to being around people and around things that we'd be good at connecting. But in fact, we've got worse at it. So we all need to carve out some time this week. Heck, most of us have probably got a bit extra in lockdown. So carve out some time to be still, to be silent. Or maybe you want to make it a bit of a challenge with some friends so that you can encourage one another, keep each other accountable. That discipline will help us to see Jesus more clearly, to hear him more clearly, follow him more wholeheartedly. The smartphone is a powerful multitasking tool, but humans aren't. We're called to a singular focus, a singular goal. Nothing else but Jesus. Nothing else will do. So let's pray together. Father, there are lots of things that distract us in this world, that pull us, that compete for our attention, and our phones are one of those things. So Lord, would you help us to identify that and then replace it? Would you help us to see you more clearly, to find time to hear your voice, that we would put you in the place that you deserve, that place of honor? We pray that in Jesus' name.